Before I start talking about libraries, I would like to share the podcast book recommendation for this month, and that's titled James by Percival Everett. It's a masterpiece. And one of my girlfriends asked me, what else are you reading other than the books you recommend on the podcast? Well, I thought I should share that. I actually just finished Cursed Daughters by Oyinkan Brathwaite. And then I have three books I never quite finished and just have a little ways to go. Here we go. Amongst a Thousand Stars by Rosemary Okafor. This was also a book club pick. The next one is Obligations to the Wounded by Mubanga Kalimamukwento. And finally, I have Authentic Mama by Olunosen Louisa Ibaze. She is our leader in the Ottawa Black Book Club. Check it out on Instagram. What are you reading this month? Wendell, Borders and Beyond, Tales of a U.S. and Beyond Bound Journey. Welcome to Assorted Immigrant Stories. My name is Zenith Mwangahamamba Malao, your host. I'm in between my main seasons, and I originally wanted to call this little stretch Season 1.5. But my podcast hosting platform does not support that. So I'm calling it Season 2, a mini-series. So if you hear me refer to it as 1.5, that's the reason why. This mini-series brings you short episodes filled with reflections, books, reminders, and lessons from, as usual, the immigrant journey. So whether you're listening on AfriPods, Jolof Radio Media, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, thank you for being here. Hello, everyone. Welcome and welcome back. Sorry, my voice sounds a bit rough today. I've been under the weather, but let's get right into it. When we talk about settling into a new country, we talk a lot about school, particularly being an international student, work, immigration paperwork, and all that stuff. But today, I want to talk about something I think just flies under the radar, something more quieter. Yet another thing I didn't understand until many years later. Well, maybe two to three years in, and that's libraries. You guys recall in Season 1, Episode 11, I spoke with Jorah Muteng. By the way, he has a wonderful, wonderful podcast. It's titled 50 Things That Define Zambia. Please check it out. And as we shared our struggles as international students, he said something that stayed with me. Because I feel like there are a lot of things like libraries that we overlook. And he shared about the abundance of internet. Abundance of internet access here in the United States. And by the way, it's not just libraries where you'd get like free internet. It's just that it's the one thing I also thought about as something you can use together. Free libraries, free internet. See, because I learned something once I got into nursing school, program was so rigorous. And I just remember that the library at my school was so noisy. Through my classmates, I discovered something that I had no idea about. Like as a student, as long as you had an ID, we had access to all the other libraries in the city. Not public libraries, university libraries. This is something I had no idea, about prior to me getting into the nursing program. When I first moved to Baltimore back in 2003, I used to live around that area. And I knew of one library in Towson because it was near the mall. I don't know, there was this whole fascination about going to a mall. And then I discovered that there was a library close by. So I'd get on a bus from where I lived to Towson. And then I realized that I could register and go in. And I thought that was odd at first. because I didn't know about the free public libraries. And this is where I used to go to check my emails. So I'd read all my emails, do the replies, leave, and then, you know, come back maybe like the next month or something like that. This was over the summer break. School was very far away. I mean, it took me like 2 bus rides and close to 2 hours just to go to school. So during the semester, I did use the internet at school for emails and everything. But you know what? This was during a time when the internet lived in buildings and not in your hands like it is today. So a lot of things have changed. A lot of things have changed because this is how we communicated with the people back home. You know, you either bought your phone cards and called people or sent each other emails. Took your little pictures, sent them via email. Anyway, eventually my roommates and I did get internet, AOL, I think that's what it was called, on a desktop that someone gave to us. So that was also a bit helpful. It was very slow, but you know, it did the work. The biggest problem was just like trying to study because, like I said, school was far and, you know, it took time before I discovered about the other school libraries with your ID. So when I was in nursing school, my group study and I, we rotated between 3 libraries. So it was like Loyola, Towson University, Johns Hopkins, because those are the sort of universities that we knew of. Even with that, I feel like it was a bit of a stretch because now, like where I live here in Owings Mills, we have 2 libraries right here. There's one for the community college and then there's a public library. And you can just utilize any one of those. And a lot of other schools too, by the way. In the Baltimore area, we have the HBCUs as well. We have Morgan State. We have Kaplan State. These are the other schools you can think about. So just think about where you live, the schools that are close by, but also the public libraries that are close by. Anyway, my favorite was Loyola. Yeah, Loyola. It's also not far from Notre Dame as well. I think I went there once because I then just became obsessed with it. I became obsessed with going into other libraries. I just loved how they looked. The Johns Hopkins Library was so serious. I'm sure it is. It still is. Everyone looked so serious, but the parking was a bit of a headache. So it was my least favorite, actually. But, you know, since we were in a group study, you know, sort of just went wherever somebody picked, which brings me to another point. So at that time, I also still just thought libraries are just for studying and borrowing textbooks. I must have been also so far removed from my own childhood, but I didn't realize how much more they were. They really were. Yeah. Especially here in the United States. So fast forward to last year, if you guys remember a few episodes ago, I shared how, because of my schedule, my son couldn't start pre-K-4. I was so desperate. I was so desperate. And I was just looking for anything just to keep him engaged, you know, especially because his peers were all now beginning to go to school as well. I mean, being with grandma is nice. It's good. But I just needed like a learning environment. And through a friend of mine, I actually found out about library programs for children. And I was like, oh my God, where have I been? How did I not know about all this? They had so much. They had story time, music, dance, reading groups, play areas. I mean, these are programs that start like from babies, 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, that by the time we were going there, it was like so much older. And I remember just thinking, oh my God, we could have been coming here since he was 1. And honestly, that's when the idea for this episode really started to cook a little bit. I was like, I wondered how many me's are out there. How many people may not know this? And about maybe 6 weeks ago now, we had an appreciation conversation with our former primary school headmistress, Miss Trish Fryer. That was wonderful. My seventh grade teacher was on there, my fourth and seventh grade teacher, Mr. Mumba. And it's funny because before the Zoom call happened, I kept picturing her. I don't know, I kept picturing her the way I always remember her, right? Like in her office, surrounded by books. And that's why I said earlier that I might have been disconnected from my own childhood, because for Miss Fryer, she used to lend us her personal books. Like her office was full of puffin books. Every time she traveled to the UK and came back, she had all these puffin books and she allowed us to borrow them. Like you could take the book, I can't remember for how long, but would sign out and return them to her. And even in the library, that's where we had like what we called, it was kind of like trivia. Yeah. During afternoon activities, we had one of those. It was like trivia with her, and it was in the library. We did it in the library, in the school library. So you see, it wasn't just a space for studying. Borrowed fiction books, and we even did trivia in there. But I guess when I grew older, I just disconnected from that. Every time I heard somebody's going to the library, they were studying. I actually don't even remember the library in high school. I was trying to think so hard the other day. I was like, I don't remember it. I just remember a place we called the careers room. It was a tiny room where we had classes like the French class, additional mathematics. But this is a space where the students who were extremely studious went to study. I wasn't one of them. Can you tell? But anyway, what's funny is that when Miss Fryer finally appeared on the call, behind her was a wall of books, a big bookshelf. I was like, wow, just like I was imagining her. This many years later, I mean, I last saw her in 1996. That's almost 30 years later. I had actually left primary school by then, so it was just one of those where we had gone to say hi to her. She used to play golf with my dad, so yeah, we had gone to say hi to her. And boy, that really, really took me back to my childhood. And it's funny because we had this built-in bookshelf in the house, and we called it the library, my dad's library. My dad was actually a big reader. He was a big reader. And she did speak about him on that day, not about reading, but something else. And I don't know, it gave me good memory vibes is what I can say, if that's even a thing. Anyway, and around the same time, maybe like a month ago, I joined like a podcast cohort. And one of our assignments was to listen to each other's work. And oh, if you ask me to do that, I'm going to do it. I love listening to other podcasters. I'm a podcast junkie, by the way. And the first episode I listened to featured a woman building libraries. I was like, oh, why are libraries kind of like calling my name? Her name is Osa Oyego, and she's the founder of Taurus Education Consulting. And this was on the Identity Talk podcast with Kwame Safo-Mensah. It was a wonderful episode. And again, the episode made me think about what libraries represent. You know, spaces for identity, spaces for liberation, spaces for knowledge, community, play. And as if by divine intervention, I listened to another episode, like within the same week, one of my favorite podcasts. It's related, I promise, with Jews and Sharon. And oh my God, they have a third person on there. They also had a librarian guest, Angela Wachuka. And I think she's the co-founder of Book Bank in Nairobi. And she was talking about how reading is still a form of entertainment. Reading is still a form of entertainment people actively enjoy. I mean, even in the age of TikTok, because that's what the conversation about, like in this era, are people still reading books, physical books? And Jews, kind of like me, also shared how growing up in Kenya, she only viewed libraries like as study spaces until she moved to the UK for school. And I think her uncle had told her, like, yo, she wanted to do something. I said, oh, why don't you just go do that at the library? She was like, at the library? But it was an interesting conversation, you know, because really they were asking, are libraries still relevant in the age of TikTok, social media, and everything? But I think they are. I think they are. And I think, yeah, and the librarian said the same thing. Reading is still entertainment. People still read. I love books, for example. And this past summer, people still read, you know. And Angela Wachuca also reminds us, just like all the other wonderful people, libraries are about knowledge, culture, and community. And honestly, it really, really made me think about my hometown, because I don't know what the library in Chilawumbu looks like today. I've never even thought to step foot every time I've gone back, or like if it's still even open. So next time I go back, it's on my list. Like, I have to check it out, you know, because book clubs are growing, for example, community spaces are needed, you know, and libraries can be anchors for such communities. For example, this past summer here, we had a wonderful book discussion with some ladies. It was really nice. And the book we picked was The Secret Lives of Baba Segi's Wives. Oh my God, we could have gone all day. We really could have gone all day. I mean, I own my copy and a lot of other ladies do too. But guess what? But that same book was available at my local library here in Owings Mills. Yes, African literature lives here too, in the libraries. By the way, that's where I met Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. It was through a public library as well back in 2014 when she was doing like a book tour for Americana. And there's a lady I follow on Instagram. I think she's called, is it a Circle of Friends Book Club? And I was very fascinated because she shared a video once that this is how she gets a book. I think I waste a bit of money because I'll download a book on Audible and listen there. And when I really, really love it, I'll buy a physical copy too. And every now and then I'd go back and read a book and put markers and everything. But yes, so that means I'm paying for the book twice. So I need to curb that eventually. I just love having the books. But she shared a video of how she just goes to the local libraries and borrows the books and returns them. And a couple of book clubs. And one of them is based in Zambia and the readers are from all over. And I do hear sometimes readers asking where they can get the book, because I think in Lusaka, for example, in Dola, they have these bookstores. But other towns, not so much. So this is where the libraries could really, really come in. Have books that people can just borrow and return. Anyway, so this is my message, especially to immigrants, students, newcomers. Do not sleep on libraries. Public libraries are free. They have free internet most of the times. You can use the computers there. They have study spaces too. They have children's programs. They have book clubs, music events, creative spaces. Let me tell you, if you're like me and you need a creative outlet, check out your local libraries. Look them up. You can create content. You know, this is the age of content creation. Obviously, for those that want to explore their creative outlets. And you can build community too. And they'll remind you what you still carry with you. That is all I have for you today. I'd love to hear from you at assortedimmigrantstories@gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram at assortedimmigrantstoriespod. And on TikTok, Assorted Immigrant Stories Podcast. And on YouTube, at Assorted Immigrant Stories Podcast as well. You can tune in at AfriPods, Jollof Radio Media, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Don't forget to rate and review, like, share, and subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, bye-bye. Take care.